This podcast is part of the Deluxe Edition Network. To find other great shows on the network, head over to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. That's deluxeeditionnetwork.com.
Hello, listeners. I'm Allie, and this is Quad Pro Quo. As always, I'm joined by my three co-hosts, Tammy.
Hello.
Matt.
Hello there.
And Guido.
Hi.
We are a film podcast inspired by the quid pro quo scene in Silence of the Lambs. Each month we pick a theme, and each week one of us picks a movie that falls within that theme. And we are starting the month of March. Someone say what the theme is so I don't sound like I'm talking about myself.
But you are, though.
I know.
It's Allie month.
We appreciate Allie this month.
Appreciation month.
It is my birthday this month.
Yes, it is.
After St. Russell Day, which
beware
is Kurt Russell's birthday.
Where are the Ides of March?
March 18th.
Thought it was the Tides
it's
of March.
It's kind of a big deal.
Thought it was all about
year.
Yes, I am turning 40.
And what kind of a month will we be celebrating?
We will be celebrating a Bravo-themed a birthday party for me.
I'm so stoked.
I'm so excited. So for those who don't know, I love Bravo and anything Andy Cohen touches. And so I'm going to have a Bravo-themed 40th birthday with shot skis.
Did you make them yet?
No, I have the skis over there. I have to put shot glasses on.
They're going to be two-person or three-person shots?
Two. So I have two skis, so...
Okay.
Yeah. Four okay. people can do it at once.
Good. All right, yes. but they have to be similar in height.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you got to be careful.
So you're saying, yeah, Kyle and Leah can't do
no.
it. Or she'll need a steppy stool.
So each of you is tasked with picking a movie that you think I might like. And I think you've all picked a movie I actually haven't seen, which I'm very excited about.
That's important, I think.
But before we get to my pick, because I'm first, to coincide with my pick, I have a question for everyone. I didn't tell you guys beforehand.
No, you didn't.
I know.
I heard it.
So, if you could have sex with a ghost, which ghost would you want to have sex with?
I don't understand.
If you could have sex with a ghost.
Oh, Betty White, for sure.
Okay. So, anyone that is dead?
Yeah.
Or anyone that has played a ghost.
Or a fictional ghost. So, like, if you wanted to, like, fuck Devon Sawa as Casper.
What if Matt wants to... Okay, Casper.
Patrick Swayze.
He was picking Patrick Swayze. Matt was picking Patrick Swayze.
You're going to bang Patrick Swayze?
He stole your joke. God damn it.
I mean, he's fucking hot.
He's gorgeous.
I mean, in Ghost.
I was going to...
And it's Dirty like Dancing.
This is like the fourth time we've talked about Patrick Swayze today. It's so bizarre.
I was going to fuck Patrick Swayze while he was in Whoopi Goldberg's body.
So then
why?
So then it's not gay.
Well, yeah, so it's not gay.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But then I was like, well, you know, and my old...
It's just gay with extra steps.
My old standby is just, you know, getting a blowy from the ghost from Ghostbusters.
Goody. Like
Slimer?
Good one. No.
The Stay Puff Marshmallow Man?
No, that's the only one with the... It got those, you know...
The one who blows Dan Aykroyd. No. In, like, that one little
no
scene.
No Denture Adventure with
but
Slimer.
Then, but then again, because, like, I was also thinking about it, because she told me this joke, or she told me this question while we were driving to lunch today, and I was like, you know who else? I would fuck the Ravenclaw ghost.
From Harry Potter. Yeah. The Grey Lady.
The Grey Lady.
The one that hangs out in the bathroom?
Molly.
No.
That's Moaning Myrtle.
Moaning Myrtle, yeah.
No.
That's Moaning Myrtle. That's
I would,
different.
No, I would fuck Rowena Ravenclaw.
Yes, Rowena Ravenclaw.
Because she's, because the actress that played her in the movies was... The same actress. From
it's actually Helena Ravenclaw.
Whatever.
I'm what just, about a Death saying. Eater? They got those heads that are holes.
They're not dead, though. No. Oh, my God. You guys are terrible with the Harry Potter stuff.
I don't.
That's a Dementor.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh,
not a Death Eater.
Sorry.
Death Eaters are human. They're human.
I'm so sorry.
No, they're like corporeal forms, kind of. They're not really ghosts, and they're not really alive.
I
thought Death Eaters was like, you know, just the wizards in their clan outfits.
That's what Death Eaters are. Yeah. Dementors are something different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for, you know, telling me that.
I mean, so it opens up. It doesn't have to necessarily be like a scary movie. Like, we were joking, but I didn't want to say this because I didn't want to say I wanted to fuck a Muppet. But like, you know, the Ghost of Christmas Present in, you know, Muppet Christmas Carol.
I'm in the room, sweetheart.
I know. Because, you know, he kind of looks like Matt. And he's, you know, he's very jolly.
You are Muppet-like. Yes, I agree.
And know me better, Matt.
Come in and know me better, man.
But, you know, he's a Muppet, so that'd be weird. So if I was just going to go...
You would just get a lot of rug burns from the film.
with like a dead celebrity, it would probably be River Phoenix or James
Dean.
That's
different. So that's a dead, the person that has is deceased.
Yeah, but I mean, we can just assume that he's a ghost haunting Hollywood Boulevard. He died tragically, so.
Queen Anne.
The meat legs?
Yeah, why not?
Gabagool.
Whoa!
See? It writes itself.
Tammy, any thoughts on a fuckable ghost? Beetlejuice?
Disgusting.
Oh. Beetle's juice.
I mean, you could fuck Alec Baldwin in Beetlejuice.
You could. Alec Baldwin in Beetlejuice, kind of hot. Kind of hot.
No. Gina Davis, if you're into like that slit her wrists. Teeth.
Or Juno, your caseworker.
Maybe like Bubba. That would be a good one.
Like Bubba Gump Shrimp?
No, like Barbarian Bubba.
That's not a ghost.
That's not a ghost. Gross. Bubba.
She dies at the end.
Bubba.
That's true.
That was a ridiculous death scene. There's no way that happened.
You could have even said you could have banged Tom Hiddleston's ghost from Crimson Peak. You could have had it.
Oh, yeah, that guy's full of holes.
Yummy.
He's not my type.
Oh, he's mine.
No, not your type.
Swarthy.
Do you like a more of an Irish brogue?
Ooh.
Or like a limp dick 80s actor?
No, Steve Guttenberg doesn't do it for me.
Thank God I'm not the only one in this room that doesn't like Steve Guttenberg.
Well, speaking of ghost sex and Steve Guttenberg, shall we get to my pick?
Please.
For my appreciation month.
I can't wait.
Sounds very believable. All right.
Oh boy.
My movie came
out.
Wait,
is it Old Boy?
No, it's not.
Oh.
That would be all too
exciting.
It is.
I changed it, but it's the Spike Lee version.
Ew.
Have fun. Buckle up, assholes.
As long as there's incest in it.
Well,
there is.
Technically, there kind of is in this one.
Oh my God, there is.
Wait.
I'll explain it later.
Yeah.
All right. So my movie came out in 1988. And it was directed by Neil Jordan. And it stars Peter O'Toole, Steve Guttenberg, Daryl Hannah, Beverly D'Angelo, very young Liam Neeson. It's High Spirits.
These brave Americans have traveled all the way to Europe to visit a genuine haunted castle.
Castle Blanket! We can promise you ghouls of all descriptions!
There are no bloomin' ghosts here!
But there will be! We'll invent them!
Their host doesn't want them disappointed.
This is the most pitiful supernatural sham that I've ever encountered. We'll get better, I assure you.
But when you fake a haunting, the real ghosts get mad.
I had never heard of this movie before.
Hate you all. Already,
me neither.
I hate you all. A curse upon your house.
I had never heard of this movie before.
All right, well, around the table.
Guido.
Yeah, we'll start with Tammy. Around the table.
Go.
Have you seen it before? What were your thoughts on Allie picking this movie?
So I, you know, being of the female, you know, gender, I thought, okay, well, she said it was a chick flick and it was a love story.
I never said any of those words, but that's fine.
Yes, she did.
I did not. I said it was a silly 80s comedy.
Oh,
that's what
love
I said.
Story. I romantic never said, comedy.
I never said those words.
I feel like, should we rewind the tape?
Shall we go to the podcast that I spend hours editing? And,
yes.
And sound, okay, sure.
No.
And maybe it was maybe Guido like looking over his shoulder, watching the clip of it on IMDb. And I was like, all right, well, we'll see what this is like. And that's what I thought when we first looked at the clip. Well, let's see what this is like.
Amazing. Matt.
I actually had seen this before.
Shut up.
Well, this is...
I showed it to him.
This is like one of the first in our like... Allie and I going back and forth during the pandemic. It was like a quad... I showed you this movie. Now you show me this movie.
This is one of the ones I showed him.
This is one of the ones that she showed me. And thankfully, it wasn't directed by David Fincher. And it didn't have anyone get their throat slit by a box cutter under a pillow.
Nope.
Or anyone mutilated into a walrus.
So it's already a step up.
With toothy vaginas.
Until you voluntarily watched it again.
Yeah, I watched it again because she picked it, so I'll watch it again.
Yes.
I also think that when we watched it the first time, I was pretty drunk. So it's
an Irish movie.
I don't really remember that much of it. So like I'm kind of watching it again for the first time.
Okay.
Guido.
Oh, I don't usually watch high school plays. so I, you know, that's what this was.
A high school play?
Yeah.
No,
yeah, he's I saw the trailer and the production values. And I was like, oh, okay. Look, there's like somebody's pretending to be a bush.
A bush?
Yeah, there's another man holding a prop and he's waving it around like a wave. I'm like, I see what's happening here. I see what's happening here.
All right. Well, so this movie was directed by Neil Jordan, who has an Oscar. He was...
For what?
He wrote the... He won for Best Original Screenplay for The Crying Game. He also directed The Crying Game. He also directed Interview with the Vampire.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
What? He is quite a substantial director.
Full of androgyny.
Was this like his first thing?
It was one of his first movies, All right, yes.
Fair.
He also did a U2 video before this.
Okay.
Is that real?
Yeah, I looked. Remember, I was the one that told you he did Interview with a Vampire because I looked up his IMDb.
Yeah, because I thought that he did Stargate because Stargate has the guy from The Crying Game in it. And I thought he did Stargate, but he didn't. He did Interview with the Vampire, which has the other guy from The Crying Game in it. Yeah.
Stargate also has Richard Kind in it.
Just got to tell people if you have an Audi or not. That's all.
It does. Yeah. All right, so yes, Neil Jordan. So I picked this movie because watched it a lot when I was a kid. My mom really liked it. That should be a tip off.
Yes. Yes. A Cinda pick.
Is it because it has Liam Neeson in it? Young Liam Neeson?
No, we just always liked it. I don't know why. I just always thought it was funny. We like Peter O'Toole. My grandmother loves
silly.
Peter O'Toole.
It's so. Silly.
All right. Let's get into it.
Jeez, what nationality is Liam Neeson?
Do it with some aplomb.
He's Irish.
Be excited. Great. This is your pick. Let's do this.
I am excited. You guys are bringing me down hardcore.
Why? We haven't even started yet.
I know. All right.
Yeah, it's like you already shot your spooky load.
I did.
Right on.
Lots of spooky loads shot.
Don't shoot that ghost load too early, all right?
All right. So we start in Ireland.
So
I'm not sure where in Ireland this is. Actually, I looked it up. It's in County Limerick. I don't know the name of the castle, though. But we start at Castle Plunkett, and we meet Peter Plunkett, played by Peter O'Toole.
Do you think...
very respected actor, RSVP, probably the Amy Adams of his day, nominated for 6 or 7 Oscars, never won.
Yeah, he looks very familiar.
Most famous for Lawrence of Arabia, probably.
He's really funny.
Oh like, my God,
was,
so funny in
he
this
He was
movie.
Like the comedic relief for
he
me.
He was breaking character all over the place.
I fucking loved it.
All right. He was drunk the whole time, and I'm pretty sure that was great.
Yeah. Knowing Tammy's track record of what movie she's probably seen, you probably recognize him from King Ralph. With John Goodman.
I've never seen that movie.
Oh.
I don't think I've seen it either.
Okay. I just thought you might have.
So he runs Castle Plunkett, which is a hotel in Ireland. And he's on the phone at the beginning of the movie with Jim Brogan. And he's trying to ask for an extension on their mortgage because they are going to lose the castle in 2 weeks, I think.
It's a family owned.
Yes. And so 2 weeks or else they lose the castle and he's trying to figure out. Well, then he goes into his office, attempts to hang himself.
His mom walks in.
His mom walks in, decked out, full face, like, full makeup, wearing like jewels. And she's drunk. How dare you?
You're going to take the easy way out.
Your father is so disappointed. Father's been dead for a decade. Well, he's still disappointed.
He tosses the rope to her and he goes, pull this.
Oh, my gosh.
And she does.
I'm not going to help you. It's very, yeah, everyone's drunk in this movie. I love it. And so. So she starts talking about her dead husband and the grandmother, who's also dead. And then he kind of has this realization, like, how many people have died in this castle? And she starts like naming them off. And he thinks, oh, that's our shtick. How he didn't think of that earlier. I mean, it's Ireland, like everything in Ireland has like a haunted aspect to it.
Well, like you said, he's been drunk the whole time.
That's true.
So.
OK.
And he hasn't been given like the final notice maybe until now.
No, he has. That's what he was on the phone with Jim Brogan.
But like this was like, that was it.
Yeah.
And he's like, shit. Now yeah. I really like this is it.
So they decide that they are going to market the castle as a haunted attraction, that it's really haunted. And they start adding more dust and cobwebs to this.
With like silly string cans.
Cobwebs in a can.
Dilapidated castle that's falling apart.
It's like the reverse of any 80s like cleanup like montage. It's like Revenge of the
Clean Down.
It's like Revenge of the Nerds, but backwards.
Yeah.
And no robot.
So they have a bunch of people that work there. They have like two ladies. One of them's gonna be Lady Godiva, like riding around on a horse. One's gonna be a Banshee, which is a Irish.
Is it the flying
wailing
person?
Demon?
A wailing woman. Yes, a wailing demon. It's a famous Irish folklore.
The one that flies?
Yeah.
Is that her?
She's the one who's, woo! Like she's up in the tree, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at me, you bastard!
Yeah.
That poor woman.
I know.
I know.
She's a real hero.
She had to wear a corset for most of the movie.
Yeah, so they keep showing them like practicing, and she's like in a corset being like thrown from the castle.
The things I do for real.
I felt bad for the guy who had to jump off so that she could propel.
You gotta have a counterweight.
It's so funny. Oh my gosh. So then we cut to the first of the American guests, Steve Guttenberg and Beverly D'Angelo, who are married.
She looks really good.
Oh yeah.
I really enjoyed seeing her in a different character.
What,
a bitch.
A pissed off wife who has to deal with an idiot husband.
So they're
slash in, size queen.
So they're in first class and they're flying to Ireland to stay at Castle Plunkett. And Steve Guttenberg is his adorable Steve Guttenberg self. For those who don't know Steve Guttenberg, he was in like Police Academy. He was in like the Three Men and a Baby movies. Just a staple of 80s awesomeness.
He was in It Takes Two. The Olsen
with
Twins
Kirstie
movie.
Alley. I loved that movie.
He was also in the Ice Spiders and Volcano movie.
Yeah, my mom loves those movies.
On the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah, Ice Spiders and Lava Spiders. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. My mom likes those a lot. Beverly D'Angelo, you know, National Lampoons.
Vacation movies.
Also been in SVU. You know, great stuff.
Fierce Lady.
Amazing. So they're flying to Ireland.
She was in Violent Night. Don't you like that movie with the...
Oh,
the,
she was in that. That's right.
Yeah, she was like the grizzled, like hardcore... Mom.
That is kind of what she... I mean, being... Having two children with Al Pacino will do that to you. Yeah, they have twins.
Hoo-ah! He dunked a chino in her.
Wow. Way to go, Al.
So, I mean, it was like 25 years ago. They're in first class. Steve Guttenberg's trying to be romantic. She's already taken two Valium. And then he spills champagne on her. And then she's mad. She's like, next thing you know, you'll want to have sex.
Yeah.
And then he goes and sits and next to an old lady.
And he's like, and which also the largest first class part of a plane I've ever seen in my life.
I've seen, yeah, the only first class I've ever seen in a movie bigger than that is in The Wedding Singer.
That at least, well, this is the 80s. So yeah, I guess they were kind of bigger back then.
And
yeah,
it had that,
yeah.
You know, well, yeah, it was the 80s. Bigger is better and everything. So, you know.
Do you know who the flight attendant is in that movie? In The Wedding Singer?
Yeah.
It's Shanna Moakley.
Yeah, Travis Barker.
It's Travis Barker's ex-wife.
His ex, yeah.
Yeah. So they're on their way to Castle Plunkett with some other American guests. So we get the guy who played the lawyer in Jurassic Park and
his
family.
The blood-sucking lawyer.
The blood-sucking lawyer and his family, his wife and his three kids. We get Peter Gallagher, who is
so funny,
a brother becoming a priest. We get Jennifer Tilly.
So wait, is he a brother becoming a priest?
He's brother Tony.
Or a brother becoming a priest?
Well, it's Peter Gallagher, so he's not black.
Jennifer Tilly has not been stuffed like a Thanksgiving turkey.
She
yet.
Has phenomenal 80s hair in this movie.
She doesn't even look like Jennifer Tilly. She looks like, I said it when we were watching, she looks like Adrienne Barbeau.
She does. She looks great in this movie.
Like with that.
It's
no,
not
no.
How I like to see Jennifer Tilly.
No.
Oh, I love 80s Jennifer Tilly.
No. I like
full
but
Tilly.
She still has the voice.
Give
the best part.
Give me like the liar liar and like how she is now.
In like Chucky?
She's like fantastic
yes.
Now. This movie, like I said,
right,
she looked
127.
She looked like I said,
yeah.
a knockoff Adrienne Barbeau.
Okay. So they're on their way to the castle in this bus, and the bus driver's kind of giving them a little tour. They see the Banshee, which again is
not Kate Bush. Every time I'm like, is that Kate Bush?
Her name is also Katie. So she's wailing and trying to scare them, and then she loses her balance and falls on top of
I'm
the bus.
Falling off this bus.
Falling off this bus.
Falling on this tree.
And then they open up the top of the bus. It's like a retractable roof.
That's the escape hatch.
Thank God they did that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Steve Guttenberg is trying to help her, and then they lose control. They run through like the entrance of the castle and then into the lake.
The bus is amphibious, no big deal.
The bus is amphibious.
Well, they roll onto the dock of
the
lake.
And then
they kind of parked there until it just fell into the
water. And
then
it just falls in. Yeah. And then the driver's like, it's amphibious.
It really drives home. Everything's broken.
Everything's broken.
Everything's wet.
Everything's falling apart.
Everything sucks.
Everything's broken and everything's wet except for Beverly D'Angelo.
They all live.
She's real dry.
She probably, yeah. So they all live. They get into the castle. They're all wet.
Except Beverly D'Angelo.
So they get to their rooms. They meet Peter O'Toole or Peter Plunkett. And they get to their rooms. And we find out at dinner, the only thing that's available to eat is fish.
What's
whiting specifically.
Did he have a problem with the... She got sick at the wedding too.
And so this is where we also see the first picture, or it's a painting of one of Peter Plunkett's great, 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 great grandmother.
No, it's a cousin.
Cousin.
Yeah, it's not even like an immediate relative.
Mary Plunkett, who we'll find out is played by amazing Irish actress Daryl Hannah.
Shut the fuck
up. She was murdered on her wedding night. By her husband.
I love Peter O'Toole's voice is so amazing. And then we also find out that the other guest, the lawyer from Jurassic Park, is a parapsychologist. So he's actually there to debunk the ghost aspect.
So it's kind of like a lateral move for him from this to Jurassic Park, he's
a stick in the mud.
Yeah.
The same thing, okay?
He gets really fired up in this movie later, though.
Yeah.
He does. Well, once the ghost activity actually starts happening.
Really exciting.
Yeah. So then they have a little dinner theater, a theater after dinner. There's some Irish singing, which if you go to Ireland, it sounds like it's not real, but you walk into any pub in Ireland, there are people fucking singing. It is literally what you think Ireland is going to be. You'll just hear people singing Irish songs.
This gave me the Sound of Music vibes with the whole, like, paper background and boots and singing and all of that.
Oh, yeah. So they have this weird stage setup, and everything like that. Yeah. But they're singing just like, she's playing a harp, I think. And like, they're just singing and they're drinking Guinness. And
they were singing like With or Without You.
They were not singing With or Without You.
And the guests are like, all right, I'm over it. There's no ghosts here.
Jennifer Tilly's really trying hard to fuck the priest, Peter Gallagher.
Except she says, like, I'm not going to get with any men. I am on a break.
Oh, I love
that. I was dating this guy.
He was a Satanist. Not I was really like, wow. Yeah, it's like.
I love her voice.
God. Major jet lag.
It's so funny. You guys are going to need to start cracking the whip with your kid, or she's going to end up. She sounds just like her now.
No, she doesn't.
What?
It's Yorgos Lanthimos.
Oh.
I forgot to do that last night. When we were over watching, when I was over watching them while you were fixing that car. Like, she was, but then again, she didn't really ask any questions or anything because she was like nose deep into her Kindle.
Well, it's Friday.
If she went any further into it, she would have been inside the screen.
It's Friday. She waited all week to do
that. Not saying that, like, yeah.
Yeah. So then everyone goes to bed and the staff starts preparing to be ghosts and start scaring. So everything's fake because Peter Plunkett doesn't even think that the castle's haunted. They're just doing it to try and make money. So we got somebody's dressed in like a suit of armor on roller skates.
Hilarious.
We get the banshee flying by the window. The bus driver dressed as like a mummy and they're using a mirror to kind of like project, which I thought looked kind of cool.
But silver phosphate. Yeah.
But the guy who's the parapsychologist, like, he knows every trick in the book. So, like, he's
silver mirrors.
Yeah. Oh, semi-silver mirror, blah, blah, blah.
So his wife is sitting there trying to seduce him.
Trying to get fucked.
Yeah. She's
trying to get stuck. But science man is just
and
like,
let me tell
got
you,
a science.
All of these women are wearing the most beautiful lingerie.
This is going to happen later when they get rained on and all their clothes get ripped off. Every woman is wearing garters and thigh highs.
Yes.
It is hot.
Lacy.
And negligees.
Negligees. All these women are decked out underneath their clothes.
They look great.
I don't know if it's an 80s thing.
No, it is not. That was purposeful. Women wanted to get fucked in that dusty castle.
Except for Beverly.
They were like, ghosts? Yes. Fuckery.
Cobwebs? She's, not in this bus.
They were like, I ain't afraid of
they
no ghosts.
They wanted that ghost load.
That D. They wanted that.
They wanted that spooky load.
They wanted that corporeal D. Yeah, absolutely.
Calling all the ghost cocks.
Except for Beverly D'Angelo.
Well, yeah. No, she wanted she's the ghost cock the most.
Well, Steve Guttenberg jumps on her because he thinks it's a ghost, and she's like, I have to take another Valium. We are not having sex tonight.
Two Valium.
Jennifer Tilly's like passed out on her bed, and the bed's moving because there's somebody up like above it, like
riding
spinning
a bicycle.
It, basically.
Oh, I thought that was like real ghost. I guess I missed that.
No,
part.
This is the first part. And then like it keeps spinning, and she starts to freak out. And then Brother Tony runs in and he tries to say a prayer, but he's getting sick because of the spinning.
She's like, exercise it.
He jumped into her bed pretty quickly.
Yeah, he did.
And then the kids are chasing around the suit of armor on skates, and so is the parapsychologist.
He starts like sword fighting them.
Everything's going awry.
That was the first thing I said. I was like, really? You chose to put on roller skates with your suit of armor.
That's how it glides.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
And then Jennifer Tilly and Peter Gallagher, the bed breaks and goes falling through the floor and then down the stairs and picks up Peter O'Toole, and everything is exposed that it's not. Obviously, there's no ghosts. Nothing's real. The person in the suit of armor is like his grandmother or some old woman.
Mm-hmm. Didn't it flip through the window and they fell into like a...
That's a little bit later. That's later.
Oh, it is?
That's okay. When the actual ghosts show up.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
So, you know, basically Peter O'Toole apologizes. So we lied. We only have 2 weeks left on this place.
Oh, Jim Brogan.
Yeah. So the woman who's the banshee says maybe Jim Brogan will give us and I'm going to apologize, Tammy, too, for our terrible accents in this episode. I've never been good at an Irish
Don't worry.
Rogue,
Daryl Hannon takes all the blame.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Yeah.
So she says maybe Jim Brogan will give us another chance.
And then Steve Guttenberg's like,
Jim Brogan, that's my father-in-law.
He's like full on like Mark Wahlberg. He's like, hey guys, what's going on here?
That's not okay.
Jim Brogan.
What is he, Australian?
Jim Brogan. No, Jim Brogan's let him cook. Brogan's my father-in-law.
Yeah.
We're gonna help you. This is what we're gonna do.
Yeah, you are making him sound like Brock and Vanderpump Rules.
Whatever.
Hey guys.
Yes.
Hey guys, I'm here.
Whatever. I'm ripping the band-aid.
Do it better.
I fucking hate Steve Guttenberg.
He hates him.
I am so glad that I am the age that I am, where I didn't have to experience Steve Guttenberg in everything that people before me had to.
It's very true. He was in everything.
I like Police Academy movies.
Yes, that's all everyone ever says whenever I say I don't like Steve Guttenberg. You're like, I like Police Academy. No. Who cares? Right. I hate Steve Guttenberg.
He wasn't the only person in Police Academy.
Rant over. And now we're going to take a break to learn more about one of the other podcasts that are part of the Deluxe Edition Network. We'll be right back.
What's up, everybody? I'm Matt, the host of the Beard Laws Podcast, a podcast that has nothing to do with beards, a podcast where we aim to entertain and interact with our live viewers, but our listeners. They're like the quiet person that never talks sitting around the bonfire because the rest of the group is so entertaining, hilarious, wild, and a little bit dumb. So grab a drink, grab a snack, and let Beard Laws and the boys, Toby, Brandon, Logan, Zach, Richie, and our occasional special guest entertain you. We're live on the Beard Laws YouTube Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and for whatever reason, you want to see us and or our beards. Check us out, thebeardlawspodcast.com. We're everywhere.
And we're back. All right. So we find out that Jim Brogan is Beverly D'Angelo's father.
What?
And he wants to buy Castle Plunkett. He was born there. He's always loved this castle. He hates the Plunketts.
He was born there.
That's what she says. I don't know if he was born in the castle or just in Ireland, but
oh.
He wants the castle. He hates the Plunketts. So Steve Guttenberg is hurt. He's butthurt. And he says, you used our second honeymoon as a business deal. And she's like, it's business, Jack. Obviously something you wouldn't be familiar with.
I was like, bitch.
She's a cunt. She's serving cunt in this movie.
Bitch.
I love it.
And that's the man you married.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you say that?
Exactly.
So
I know.
She's cold and he's got feelings and he's warm.
Yes. So he gets drunky drunk with Peter O'Toole, with Peter Plunkett. Probably one of my favorite parts when they're drinking. And then they
that
drink.
Is, it
is.
They
it does drink, look like a good time.
They bust out his daddy's like. God
absinthe?
Knows whatever it is.
It's
clear.
Fucking water, and it's got it's, LSD
it's,
in it.
It's Irish moonshine,
when Peter
basically.
O'Toole drinks it and does a noise, it's like the best.
What does he call it? His daddy's what?
Daddy's grog or something
daddy's
like
brew.
That. I have no idea. But he's...
It's called God. Daddy's drink.
His comic timing in this movie is so good. I think it's just because he's drunk the entire time, which is amazing.
He very clearly is. And you know, most of his scenes... He's looking off. Not
oh,
to
yeah.
the people he's talking to, but like he's on a little podium
well,
talking.
He's a stage like, I mean he's a stage actor.
I mean that's literally
his whole
career. He's always just looking off. He's a Shakespearean trained actor.
Cue monologue.
You can tell by like the cadence of his voice. Like, whoa, like it's very like grand and like stagey kind of. That's just who he is, yeah.
Like when he was saying, "What does that mouth do?"
Yes, he does say that.
It winked at me.
Oh my God. So Steve Guttenberg wanders off into the castle and he comes into this real, like the dirtiest fucking room I've ever seen in my life. And in comes through the wall, a ghost in the shape of Daryl Hannah.
With heaving bosoms.
Mary Plunkett.
And,
don't know where she got those.
The and most she's, glistening, sparkly skin.
And she's running. And she's running from Martin, her husband. Played by Liam Neeson. I thought I feel like he looks super young in this movie. He actually is 36 in this movie. So he's not like
really?
young, but like he just looks so young in this movie.
Yeah.
Steve Guttenberg thinks it's all part of like the act, like a play. And we see Liam Neeson stab Daryl Hannah's character, Mary.
What does he stab her with?
He thinks that Mary... He thinks that Mary doesn't love him and is in love with someone else.
He thinks that Mary is cheating on him on their wedding night. Yes. Okay, so we see this, and then they disappear. So, a ghost. But you see, Burton's just blasted at this point, so he has no idea. Okay, and then it happens again. We see Daryl. It's like the same scene over and over again. They're forced to live it. And then he gets in the middle of the stabbing, and he kind of like...
It's like a threesome.
Saves, yes. He saves ghost Daryl Hannah from being stabbed. And she... then ends up speaking to Steve Greenberg,
who
is super drunk. Hold on. And we get to hear her amazing Irish accent.
It's fucking harrowing.
And for those who don't know, Daryl Hannah, Splash, Kill Bill, lots of stuff.
She was born in Chicago.
Married now to another Canadian legend, Neil Young.
I wish she never spoke in this movie. I just wish she just kept
Martin, no.
Like,
oh, my bean's been throbbing for you.
She won a Razzie this year, by the way.
Like,
she
Or she was nominated for the Razzie for Best Supporting Actress.
For this movie?
For this movie.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, when we were watching it, and then she just opened her mouth and just started talking, I was like, wow.
No, this, Martin.
Because remember for the Den Awards or whatever, we said movies with the worst actors with the worst accents.
And we nominated her.
And we nominated Cameron Diaz from Gangs of New York.
For an Irish accent.
For an Irish accent. This Irish accent makes Cameron Diaz sound like fucking Saoirse Ronan. All right?
I can't wait for you to describe the ethereal hand job she gives.
Okay. It's called scalping.
That's scalping. Scalping. Which is a disgusting word for fucking.
It's actually a bear from Ballast Point.
You blow your ghost loads deep inside me.
Would you like a grapefruit scalping?
To finish on my lower ghost back.
Oh my God.
Step, bro. What are you doing?
I'm stuck.
I'm stuck in the ghost wall. Step, bro, what are you doing?
Oh, is this an Irish ghost porn?
Oh, no, my pants are falling down around me ankles.
Oh, no.
It's a run-by fruiting.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if you know this, but in order for ghosts to avoid getting, you know, ghost prostate cancer, they got to shoot one ghost load per day. That's why they you know.
That's right. Why ectoplasm is everywhere.
Yeah. Do you have a black light?
Not
on It would look like
me.
A Pollock painting. In
okay. Thank you.
What is this, 7? Is it going to say like spooge on the wall with the black light?
It's
like,
going to be in spooge, but yes.
Oh, yummy. God. Steve Gutenberg wakes up really hungover, also thinks he's dead because he thinks he got stabbed by Martin, and says nasty things to Beverly D'Angelo, and then she smacks him in the face, and then everyone's leaving, and we see Peter Plunkett asleep in his desk.
The
roll top desk. Yeah,
he pulls it back down when someone tries to get him.
She's
up.
She's like, the Americans are the Yanks are leaving, and he says, okay. So then they go to leave. Beverly D'Angelo is high, real high.
Not intentionally,
because
though.
Because Daryl Hannah switched her pills.
You take enough Valium.
Well, no, she thought she was taking B12, and then she was taking Valium instead.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because Steve Gutenberg tries to kill himself, and Daryl Hannah switches the bottle caps.
Valium and B12.
Yes. Which, I mean, I feel like taking too much B12 probably isn't that great, is it?
It's not great.
It's not
going to
kill you, though.
It's a very energetic death.
Yeah, she should be more energetic than he actually
is. I mean, he shouldn't be super hungover the next day, either.
Yeah, the B12 should, yeah, that should cancel out the hangover, yeah.
So she's high, so everyone's going to leave. And you know what? Now, the ghosts are fucking pissed. The actual ghosts are pissed. So they're going to start some shit. And as the Americans are trying to leave, Steve Gutenberg gets sailed through the air and lands in a tree. Then a huge rainstorm happens. Everyone's clothes get ripped off. Again, the really
super
nice lingerie.
Hot.
Beverly D'Angelo makes a small dick joke about Peter Gallagher. I don't think it's small because she says, oh, I guess all the snakes weren't driven out of Ireland. So that just means he has a big dick. Right?
Yeah, that wasn't in reference to the size of his peepee. Just the fact that he had a peepee attached to his body.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. But snakes are big. So I feel like that's not like a slight...
I mean,
hashtag
not
all snakes.
Are big.
Well, all snakes are going to be bigger than like 3 inches.
What about a garter snake?
Garter snakes are at least 6 to 7.
What about the little small one?
Well, what if he doubled his snake over, you know?
What, like he folded it in half?
Yeah, it's a snake.
Okay, I don't know. I don't really, look, I'm not a herpetologist, so.
You can't push rope. I've said it before.
So, Steve Guttenberg ends up in a tree. There's a talking horse.
Yeah, he gets visited by Barry Keoghan's grandfather.
Yeah, because the horse has a big dick.
We see horse dick.
Yes.
Yeah, he's...
And the horse talks.
It's hanging dong.
And we also...
So weird.
And we also see Daryl Hannah again. She is praying that she doesn't get murdered. And she also talks about how...
I decorate this tree.
This was the beginning of the downfall of the movie.
What? This is when the movie gets great. What are you talking
this
about?
This is when the weird shit starts.
You mean
for
the
me.
Actual
haunting?
Yeah, so the real paranormal shit.
Activity?
The real shit that is like, what the fuck am
Look,
I watching?
To be honest
starts
with you,
now.
No, that started.
When he starts dragging the talking horse by the hair.
The what the fuck am I watching part started when we got introduced to Steve Guttenberg. This,
shut up.
This is an uptick now because we get to see more people other than Steve Guttenberg.
So we learn that Liam Neeson's character
Martin.
He has warts and he squishes, which means he farts in bed. He squishes.
Who doesn't fart in bed?
She was probably like, he gives me a Dutch oven and I hate it.
Yeah.
I do not.
Yeah. You save all your farts for the evening, and that's why you do.
I'd squeeze them out real hard.
I thought chicks don't fart, and then you just climb into bed with this one at 8 p.m. She'll light you up. God. My thigh is covered in cigarette burns.
Ew.
That's why you should be so lucky. That's why you can keep the heater down at night because she keeps your bed warm with her farts.
That's nice.
My feet's on fire, you know? All the broccoli and crab you ate.
Ew.
You're so welcome.
So the Americans have to stay another night because the phones
the
are
steak,
out.
The steak farts are real.
Steak shits.
It was Valentine's Day. I don't know what to say.
Get it together, Tim.
Yeah.
You!
Fucking shit ass.
Oh my gosh.
You want this shit ass.
Oh my god.
And you're over there. And you're over there. And I don't know which way farts is up.
That's right.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, heat rises.
Okay. So the Americans have to stay another night. The phones are out. The parapsychologist got struck by lightning whilst wearing a suit of armor. And now his hair is on fire. And again, the ghostly activity is starting.
And now he's a believer.
He's a believer. His little strips turn blue. I don't know what that means.
He saw her face and now he's a
believer.
That's
the litmus test.
I guess so. There are these very creepy nuns with glowing eyes. That one you didn't like.
No, I did not. That was like that Bonnie Tyler total eclipse of the heart gone wrong.
Dude, so weird. The children get attacked by a aerobics instructor inside the television. The parapsychologist, a bloody hand reaches out of a fish on the wall. Just Peter Gallagher's character gets pushed out of the window into the pool by the scary nuns. Just a lot of...
And then Jennifer Tilly gets thrown
in. And then she does
it.
Too.
We see a nipple.
Yeah,
they save each other in the pool.
The disgusting pool. Beverly D'Angelo is taking a shower and who pops up in the shower but Martin. Liam Neeson, so tall. And I gotta be saying, a body be banging on Liam Neeson in this movie.
He says, don't you drop the soap on
He's
me.
He's looking good.
I mean,
I appreciate a bleached asshole on ye.
Ooh. She probably does have a bleached asshole, too.
I mean, this probably is the fourth sexiest I've seen Liam Neeson in movies.
Yeah, he named them earlier, and one was when he was Qui-Gon in Star Wars.
Yeah, Qui-Gon Jinn, number one, because he's Qui-Gon Jinn.
Did you see that face?
Yeah.
These are all the roles that Liam Neeson has given Matt a boner.
Boner.
Well, because Qui-Gon Jinn's awesome. Number two is not because... It's just like a cool sexy because he's such a good dad.
He was a man.
He had a beard.
And the way he just was like flirting with Claudia Schiffer.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty
hot.
He's
got big BDE.
And then of course... You know,
he walks softly and he carries a big stick.
Oh, yeah.
Then, of course, Taken.
Taken, yeah. So he starts massaging Beverly D'Angelo. She turns around, sees that it's not Steve Guttenberg because, you know, and then Steve Guttenberg comes in and she says, it felt so good. I should have known it wasn't you.
Bitch!
So mean to him. So Steve Guttenberg now knows, you know, that's Martin. We good here?
And then didn't Martin fart in the tub?
He did fart.
He squished.
So now everyone says it's haunted. And then Peter O'Toole's like, well, it's what you wanted, isn't it? So they're all freaking out. And also, we find out that because it's All Hallows Eve, miraculously it's Halloween, that is when ghosts become...
Horny.
Horny, but also...
Corporeal.
I thought corporeal was the other way. Whatever.
They become like solid.
They become solid for one night only. And the scalp.
Per year or like ever?
Just every year.
Okay, yeah. Sweet. So they can get their bang on like so once they can a year.
Scalp. Okay.
Sculping.
Scalp. But they can't go too far.
Or else.
Bad shit happens. Steve Guttenberg gets an old book from, Peter Plunkett's mommy because she's, married to a ghost. He learns that on Halloween night, they can do stuff, but they can't fuck. Otherwise, bad stuff will happen.
So...
Tupping. That's what they call it. He who tups with the spirit tups with the grave.
Just dry hand jobs.
I don't know.
Dry handies.
Not 100% sure. Doesn't say, okay?
I mean, because according to Bill Clinton, oral sex is not sex.
Yeah.
So believe it or not, on this ranker.com, Martin Brulgan is the 35th best character that Liam Neeson has played.
That seems low.
Where's Qui-Gon?
Qui-Gon's number 4.
Yes!
Oh, my God.
Do you want to know what number 1 is?
Taken.
Schindler.
Oscar Schindler. Yeah.
Oscar Schindler.
He could have gotten more out, if you know what I mean.
Taken 2, Brian Mills. Well, that's number 2.
I mean, that's just his character.
And then Aslan is number 3.
That's a cartoon lion.
The lion? People want to bang the lion?
They want to bang Lion Jesus?
Ra's al Ghul's 5.
Nice.
Sorry.
Shit. That means, nope. Then I gotta bump this part down. He's number 5 now because I forgot Ra's al Ghul.
Whilst everyone else is watching, they're in the bar and everyone's getting really drunk. Steve Guttenberg is having a date night with Daryl Hannah because, again, she's now in full form. She's got very nice hair.
So sparkly.
Curly ringlets. And
you can see her wig cap also.
And whilst this is happening, while everyone else is in the bar, the, I don't even know how to describe this.
The theater props become the theater real.
Props become real.
It's like in the Addams Family movie when they open the book and the hurricane is like,
So it's like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. There's an octopus. There's
you actually see the octopus. Water. In
the
you
that do. Poor little
the child
boy.
Is kidnapped.
The child, the boy gets pulled into the ice. I really like this scene. I think it's fun.
It's a shame that kid didn't die because that
Those kids
sucked.
Were annoying.
Those kids sucked.
And whilst this is happening, Daryl Hannah and Steve Guttenberg are... I mean, they're fucking.
She just has her thighs pressed together. He's just like rubbing his dick between.
Yes.
Them. So like
they're fucking, and then the rest of the people like run out of the castle. Also, we get this great scene
because they're following the parapsychologist. He's trying to find a safe space from the ghost.
Correct.
Stuff.
There also is this great scene where Peter Plunkett is incredibly drunk. And he's talking, and from behind we see all the bricks come out of the wall and the dead bodies inside the castle because everyone's buried in the castle, basically. And he's like, super drunk, and he sees the bricks, and he's...
Eamon, why are chunks of masonry floating about?
Such a great line. Okay. And then all the dead bodies, it's very Thriller, okay, including his daddy. So all of the people have run out of the castle, and they think they're safe. And then the bus from earlier rises out of the lake, being driven by Liam Neeson, Martin. And he's now obsessed with Beverly D'Angelo's
well,
character.
Well, why not? Have you seen... He saw them titties?
He did. Yeah, I mean...
He's very thirsty for D'Angelo.
It's been a dry 400 years or however long.
200 years.
200 years. So he chases her. And as he's chasing her, we're seeing Guttenberg getting it on with Daryl Hannah. And Liam Neeson's chasing Beverly D'Angelo. It's just an 80s hoo-hoo of fuckery. After the fucking, Steve Guttenberg kind of wakes up. And Daryl Hannah has turned into a 200-year-old disgusting gross corpse.
Yeah, it's
very
like...
Very dry, needs like, chapstick and moisturizer.
It's like The Shining meets Beetlejuice.
Yes, she's the old woman in the tub mixed with...
The Maitlands after they
the
got
Maitlands
exercised.
The Maitlands after they got exercised.
I think the older the berry, the sweeter like, the juice or something, right?
She's like, you said you'd love me forever.
And he's like, all right, I'll close my eyes, I guess.
And so Beverly D'Angelo and Martin kind of, they catch up to each other. And she also knows that he has big, he has a big dick. She saw it earlier. Big boogies.
Every square inch of my frigid cunt has been full of Louis Liam Neeson's pee-pee.
And so now she's into it. And he chases her around the castle.
And she's like, ooh, I'm having fun.
Yeah, it's great. And then Daryl Hannah's, she's trying to say, like, you said you'd love me. Again, they've known each other for less than 24 hours.
But Steve Guttenberg sucks.
It's very hot
idiot,
24
so.
Hours.
I mean, love?
Yeah, you're good at this, Tammy. What do you think?
This is not one of my porn books that I read.
Yeah, you love love.
Is this like when Ryan Reynolds was proposing to...
Here, let me put on chapter 22 again.
No!
Chapter 38.
Sandra Bullock.
That's, That's love.
That's love.
This?
Fucking in a golf cart.
The Dragon Riders?
No, mine. Mine.
Oh.
You know, if it weren't for the fact that Liam Neeson is a ghost, this is an SVU, and also that they're ghosts. These are just SVU episodes happening right now.
Agreed. So Steve Guttenberg is kissing the very dry Daryl Hannah, and you start to see her change. And
it's a test.
At the same time, Liam Neeson's chasing Beverly D'Angelo. She finds him, and he says, "You do love me." And she says, "Oh, yeah." Again, they have known each other for 10 minutes.
Yeah, but he's got a big dick.
That's true.
And he's not Steve Guttenberg.
Yes.
And he has an accent.
I understand why she ran to him to get away from Steve Guttenberg.
So Steve Guttenberg, because he actually loves Daryl Hannah and he kissed her, breaks the curse. And she is now alive while Beverly D'Angelo runs into the arms of Liam Neeson.
Who's sitting on a windowsill.
Runs through him and falls to her death.
And Jamie Lannister pushes her out the window.
So basically Daryl Hannah and Beverly D'Angelo swap. Basically.
Yeah, it's like Strangers on the Train, crisscross.
Exactly like Strangers on the Train.
This movie's not weird.
No, not at all. So Daryl Hannah's now alive. Beverly D'Angelo is now dead. And they get to be with the people that they love, quote unquote.
And Peter O'Toole is drunk.
And also the parapsychologist says this is the most haunted castle in the Western Hemisphere.
I hope you don't mind me saying so.
And then also, Peter Gallagher gives up being a brother.
And wants to fuck Jennifer Tilly.
Well, I mean, who would?
As he should.
Yeah. I think Peter O'Toole was like, "Brother Tony, you forgot your collar." And she's like, "No, he didn't. You threw it away, didn't you, baby?"
I'm old. And he's just really
good at a Jennifer Tilly voice. Apparently.
And he's just like, "I'm only human.
I'm only human." And they have, suddenly the next day, a very nice car. That's like a beautiful, like, Rolls Royce or something like that. It's like, I'm like, where was this car the day before? Like, it's bizarre. So then, the ending of the movie, Steve Guttenberg and Daryl Hannah end up together. They're dancing. Liam Neeson.
While listening to the Big Bopper.
To the Big Bopper.
Who the fuck listens to the Big Bopper in the 80s?
Guttenberg.
Fucking loser.
Liam Neeson and Beverly D'Angelo are together forever in ghost form. They get to fuck. And Peter Plunkett gets to keep his castle. And everyone lives happily ever after.
I don't think I could live with that woman if she sounded like that.
End.
That would be the first woman I killed.
When he dances with Daryl Hannah, he's like, "You put a little extra skin on since I last saw you.
Sorry I stopped
you. I'm not getting stabbed every night." I know these accents are just terrible.
None worse than Daryl Hannah's.
"He takes me shopping." Well, she's the only one that doesn't have the actual accent she's attempting to do. Like, Peter O'Toole is actually Irish and so is Liam Neeson. So.
Yep.
Like, they couldn't get an Irish actress. Like, there wasn't one then.
There was not a single woman in Ireland.
I mean, there definitely were.
I mean, yeah, they didn't make Saoirse yet, so.
No, Saoirse probably wasn't even born yet. So the budget for this movie was $15 million. It only made 8.5 at the box office. It holds a 31% on Rotten Tomatoes, but that's not the audience score. The audience score was higher.
What was it?
Like 57.
The audience score also gave a great rating for the Snyder cut of Justice League.
So writer and director Neil Jordan has always maintained that the released version of this film is very different from the one he shot. He was excluded from the editing process of the final cut, and he insists that his version is still locked away in a vault.
Keep it there.
It doesn't seem, to be honest, seeing his other movies, it's not really his vibe. It's just because it's so silly. And Jordan is not
we
silly.
Find out Daryl Hannah is actually a man.
Yeah. She opens up that dress and it's a dick.
And she has
it's the Liam, ghost crying game.
And she has Liam Neeson dick right there. "You said you'd still love me.
I call it my meat cudgel.
Oh my God.
I'm going to beat you to death with it.
I call it my meat shillelagh.
Shillelagh.
I'm going to pike you with it."
Oh my God. So Sir Sean Connery was offered the role of Peter Plunkett. He later dropped out of the film and the role was recast with Peter O'Toole.
Because he was like, "I'd rather do Highlander."
Well, he's also not.
He's also Scottish.
He's Scottish. I'm surprised he even accepted it. And so that is High Spirit. There weren't a lot of fun facts about this movie. Those are my fun facts. Around the room. Pass, fail. Tammy.
So when, like I said, when the big dicked horse came in.
That's Liam Neeson.
Barry Keoghan.
Barry Keoghan's dad.
I mean, yeah, the stallion. It just went downhill from there. Like, it was funny. It was funny and quirky and cute. But
the horse cock killed it for you?
No, not the horse cock. Just, that's when it started going downhill. And then we got to the ghost switching and...
It's wife swap.
It was just, I don't know. I'm not gonna pass it. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
I'm sorry.
It's fine.
I haven't failed one of your movies in so long.
I know.
But I just
very upsetting.
I don't would not watch.
You saw
this
Return
again.
To Oz, right? So
well, Matt.
I hate Steve Guttenberg. I really hate Steve Guttenberg.
I don't know why.
He is, like I said, he is a poor man's Rick Moranis.
Ugh.
You put Rick Moranis in this movie? I think you got something going there. But I mean, I appreciate. I loved Peter O'Toole in it. I appreciate the slapstick of it and like the goofiness to it.
Daryl Hannah is awful.
She is awful.
I know.
She's
awful in everything. She's just awful.
Well, she was great in Kill Bill.
I've never been a Daryl Hannah fan.
Oh, that's right.
She's like the Lionville Wawa of Irish accents. and I say that doing my own terrible Irish accent during this episode. But I'm sorry, babe. I love you, but it's a no for me, dog.
All right.
I believe that's when my shit turned purple and smells like rainbow sherbet.
Guido.
Oh, look.
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 Look. It had its moments.
It did.
But I got to see Jennifer Tilly's boob for a second, and for that, I pass it.
Yes!
What second?
When she falls into the pool.
Yeah, her boob.
To be honest, you
see a nipple.
You see Beverly D'Angelo's for like a hot second, too.
Oh, yeah.
In the shower.
Noted.
Yeah.
You did noted. Not see a nipple.
We did. You want to run the tape?
You do, kind of. Yeah.
Let's run the tape.
Plus, she's wearing a nightie, and it's wet, so it's like you basically see it.
Jamie, all right,
you see
Jamie, could you look that up for us? Nipple?
Harper, can you look that up for us?
Harper, could you look that up? Bring it up on the screen. As you can see right here, Exhibit A boobs.
A shadow nipple. Great. Mm.
Worth it.
I love a shadow nipple.
All the nipples are good nipples.
Well, that's a half pass, half fail. I'll take it.
Sweet.
Much like the country of Ireland, we are divided in our decisions.
Well, there's orange and then there's green.
Don't worry.
That was good. That
I mean,
good.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I'm sure there will be some other podcast you can guest on and they'll all love this movie.
I'm sure. All right. Well, that was my pick for my month. Matt, quid pro quo.
Okay. Well, my movie came out in 2008 and it was directed by Ethan and Joel Coen, because you always keep telling me how you've never seen Coen Brothers movies.
I've only really seen two.
Yeah. It stars Richard Jenkins, Frances McDormand, John Malkovich, and Tilda Swinton, amongst others. My movie is Burn After Reading.
You're not going to talk about George Clooney or Brad Pitt?
He's got a whole joke for it on the next episode.
I do.
Oh boy.
And where can people watch Burn After Reading?
It is available to stream for free on, well, I mean, you need a Prime membership. You need to have a Prime membership on Amazon. You can watch it for free there. Or otherwise, you'd have to purchase or rent it.
Wonderful. Burn After Reading for next week. We are at Quad Pro Quo Pod across Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And we are part of the Deluxe Edition Network. You can learn more about us and the other podcasts on the network at deluxeeditionnetwork.com. Featured podcasts for the month of March are Beard Laws, Bacon Is My Pod, and I Need Some Creep. You can suggest a theme month by messaging us on social media or on our website. And please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts.
Also, I'm adding a thing. Like how I said, no Tate Donovan month, no Steve Guttenberg month.
Oh, Jesus, Mary, or Joseph. Oh,
well, I wouldn't even know what to pick. Oh, I would. It Takes Two. Or Three Men and a Little Lady. Unnecessary sequels month. Three Men and a Little Lady. Much better than Three Men and a Baby.
Kill me now.
I know. Until next week, thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.